One of the commentaries I read this week said that this gospel text is obese with sermon possibilities. And I stand here thinking, okay, I said to Dr. John earlier, I said, I've got so many sermons swirling in my head this morning, I need to whittle it down. So let me start with this, all right? I had the distinct pleasure of both of my children, individually, not at the same time, move home after college. If you've been through that experience, I was fortunate. We did okay. But in the back of my mind was always this thought, right? You're living under my roof, my rules, right? Okay? You're familiar with that, right? Okay? And maybe, you know, I had more trouble with that when they were in high school than I did when they moved home after college, right? You're living under my roof, my rules. Since the gospel has so many things to talk about, I'm going to start with the Old Testament. All right? This passage from Deuteronomy is God saying to the people of Israel, if you're going to live under my roof, you're going to follow my rules. And that's exactly what God is saying. Moses, they're standing on the Jordan, the edge of the Jordan. They're looking across at the promised land. And Moses says to them, okay, here's the word of the Lord. God says, if you're going to live in the promised land, you have to follow my rules. If you follow my rules, blessings. If you don't, you've got problems. Right? Okay? And now, and just to kind of flesh out that story a little bit, that will kind of bring us to New Testament times, right? The people lived in Israel for a long time doing their best to follow God's rules. But if you're familiar with the history of Israel, about, it was 600, 500 years before the time of Christ, somewhere in that period of time, the people of God's kingdom in the promised land, Judah and Israel, the two nations, were taken off into exile. Right? The Babylonians came in and they took away the people from the promised land. And the people of God thought back to what God had told them as they were standing there on the banks of the Jordan looking into the promised land. What did God say? God said, if you're going to live in my house, you're going to follow my rules. And if you don't follow my rules, I'm going to kick you out. And so the only legitimate interpretation for the people of God, for the exile, is that we screwed up. We didn't follow the rules the way we were supposed to. And so God has thrown us out. That was the only logical interpretation for them. And so when they were able to return from Babylon after the exile, when they got back to the promised land, when they got back to this land that God had given them, what do you suppose the reaction is? The reaction is, we don't want to do this again. We don't want to end up back in Babylon. We don't want to make God angry, and so we are going to be sure to follow the rules precisely. And so they took the rules that God had given them, and they went through this period of interpretation. What does it mean that God said? And to make sure we don't break that rule, we are going to think about every contingent there is. And we end up with the, whatever it is, 405, how many? The book of Leviticus. I'll be honest, I have not read through the book of Leviticus. It is a listing of the laws so that they will not break commandment again and God will not get angry and throw them out. It's where we end up with the purity laws and all of that other stuff. Because they're afraid that if they're going to live under God's roof, they must follow God's rules and they're going to do it precisely. And that carries forward for the next 500 years as we come to the time of Jesus. The people of Israel are living with these strict laws because they don't want to offend God. The problem is, what? That in interpreting what it was that God expected of them, they went well beyond what God intended. They had good reason for trying so hard, but they went too far. Right? So we end up with Jesus. This morning in the Sermon on the Mount, continuing his discussion. Right? And remember last week, those of you that braved the sleet, last week Jesus says, I have not come Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus hasn't come to bring a new law, but to fulfill God's law. Only what Jesus is doing, he's saying, what we're going to do is understand what God really intended by the law. And so what did God intend? What are the laws? Let's back up. What are the laws that God gave the people of Israel as they were coming into the promised land? There's a simple answer to this. The Ten Commandments, right? These are the Ten Commandments. This is what you must do. But what's the point of the commandments? Let me go back to my initial analogy, right? The children come home and you say, if you're going to live under my roof, you're going to follow my rules. What's the point of those rules? Why do we have those rules? To avoid chaos. Yeah, that didn't work. To live so that we can, and maybe that's the chaos that you're trying to avoid, so that we can live in harmony with each other. So that we can get along. And beyond just getting along, so that we can do it safely. Right? Why do we make rules for our kids? Classroom teachers, right? Those of you that dealt with, right? You had rules in the classroom. Part of it was to avoid chaos. Part of it is to make sure that everybody stays safe. That we take care of each other in the process. And I think that's really what the commandments are about. What God has done is laid down the Ten Commandments so that the people of God will be able to live together safely, in harmony, and together with God. That's the point. But the rules become, you know, as you go through Leviticus, they become ways of not living in harmony, but of excluding. Of pushing people away, of pushing people aside. We are so afraid of breaking the rules and making God angry that what we end up doing is breaking the law and making God angry. And so Jesus here begins to teach his followers what it means to follow the rules. What it should really look like if you're going to live under God's roof. At least that's the way I look at what Jesus is talking about, right? I lost my place. You've heard that it was said, you shall not murder. Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you're angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. You see, the thing was that people split that hair. I've never committed murder. I'm okay. But Jesus says it's more than that. And in fact, those of you that memorized this when you were in confirmation, all right. Luther's Small Catechism. Y'all memorized that, right? So those of you that grew up Lutheran, right? You all memorized this in confirmation, right? So what does Luther say is the explanation of the fifth commandment? All right, you shall not murder. And Luther says what? Luther said, you were mad. Oh, there's another excuse. All right, so by next week, we're going to have a test on this. All right. Judy remembered that the catechism is in the back of the hymnal, so she's looking it up real quickly. Luther says, what is this? Answer, we are to fear and love God so that we neither despise... Oh, wrong one. We are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors. It's exactly what Jesus says, right? Luther says that if you're going to follow this commandment, that it's not just that you shouldn't kill somebody, but you should not endanger or harm them. But then Luther takes it one more step, and this is, I think, is what Jesus really intended as well. But instead, help and support them in all of life's needs. And Luther does this with every one of the commandments. It is not just what you shall not do, but it is what you shall do in order to create the harmony, in order for us to live together the way God intended us to live under God's roof. It isn't just the you shall not, but it is also here's how we love each other. Here's how we take care of each other. And I think that's what Jesus is saying in this passage. It isn't just about following the letter of the law, but understanding the intent of the law. And the intent of the law is God wants us to live together. We did this last week. Again, those of you that braved the sleep. Right? What's the heart of the law of God? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of God. That's what God says to the Israelites as they're standing there waiting to go into the promised land. God says, if you're going to live in my house, this is what it looks like. These are my rules. Love me, love each other. And if you want something more specific, look at the commandments. Jesus says the same thing. And this is how we love each other. We take it beyond the letter of the law. And know that we are not following God's law as we hate. As we treat other people. And the adultery one. That part of the command. Again, this passage is obese with sermon possibilities. I always loved having to teach the sixth commandment to confirmation classes. Right? Looking at junior high kids and saying, okay, you shall not commit adultery. Go ahead, teach that to junior high kids. For me, the bottom line of this commandment is that you shall not treat other people as objects. As possessions, but as human beings. That's what I think the commandment is about. That's what I think God is after. That we love and respect each other as human beings, and we do what we can for each other to help everyone fulfill the lives that God intended for them. And that's what Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Mount. What's it mean to live under God's rules? Love God. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love the liberals. Love the conservatives. Love Donald Trump. Love Packer fans. The whole bit. Did I go a step too far? That's what it means to live in God's house. That's what we are called on to do. God says, if you're going to live in my house, you're going to live with my rules. And my rules are very simple. Love God. Love your neighbor. Amen.